نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers and sisters listening over the receivers, we continue with the lesson of ikhlas and the example that we discussed yesterday of the abid in the time of Bani Israel, who was tricked by the ploys of shaitan into thinking that the important amal that he was going to carry out, he sold that amal for a few dinars, thinking that what he was doing was actually better for him. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali mentions that the reason that this worshipper, who in his own mind thought that he was sincere worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason that he was tricked was because he lacked the requisite knowledge or ilm. And Hazrat mentions that ilm is a very important ingredient in the life of a mu'min, which will help him or her to stay away from the traps and the deception of shaitan. So the first is that every mu'min has to ensure that he or she has the basic amount of ilm, the basic amount of knowledge to be able to live his or her life in this dunya. And this begins with the ilm and the knowledge with respect to one's tahara, salah, zakat, fasting, a person gets married, so nikah, talaq, a person is engaging in business, so the masail of buyur, all of these different aspects of ilm, to the extent that is required by each individual, it is compulsory upon them to make sure that they have these skills. And if we look around us today, there is an overabundance of literature, knowledge, publications, websites, etc. But how many of us have taken the time in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years, and sometimes 25, 30 years, to refresh the basic masail with regards to making wudu or ghusl, or the postures of salah? Alhamdulillah, in many masajid, in the last 10 days, there are some programs on ta'aleem with respect to salah, etc. But that is targeted at a specific group of people that are there in the masjid at the time. Each and every one of us should make this effort throughout the year to ensure that we improve ourselves with respect to the different facets of Islamic knowledge. The second is the value that we should be placing on the people of ilm. The people of ilm, the ulama, are those who have spent their time absorbing the nur of ilm, and along with the key ingredient of taqwa, they will be able to guide us away from the traps and the deceptions of shaitan. So Hazrat explains that we live in a time where many of us undervalue and undermine our ulama. And that this is extremely detrimental to us, because these are the people that are there to help assist us and guide us. So it's very important, especially in this day and age where there are lots of differences of opinion. And Hazrat explains that differences of opinion existed from the time of Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the A'immah, and have been there from the beginning or the advent of Islam. But it is not for us to look at those differences of opinion and come to conclusions and make disparaging remarks or have incorrect opinions about the people of ilm. Our job and our duty is there to respect each and every alim, each and every true alim, and to benefit from them in the best way possible. Moving on to our topic of ikhlas, and Hazrat's bayans, as we all would recall, he himself would say that his bayans sometimes, on a lighter note, were like his Standard 9 teacher said to him about his English essays, that it was a conglomeration of disjointed facts. But alhamdulillah, all those disjointed facts put together were extremely beneficial. So moving back onto the topic of ikhlas, Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu an once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked him that what is the reward for that person that fights in the path of Allah for name and fame. And he was told that there is no reward. He repeated this question 3 times and received the same response. After which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate any other intention in an amal done for him. So if we are doing something, we have to do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, even if there is a tiny percentage, a micro percentage of an intention other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that amal is not accepted. There is another hadith wherein the very first person that will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be a person who fought in the path of Allah ta'ala and he became shaheed. And these ni'mats, the opportunity to go out and become a shaheed, would be mentioned to him and he would acknowledge them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him that, what did you do with these bounties? So he will respond and say that I fought in your path and I was made shaheed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you have lied. You fought so that you could be called a brave person. And so you were called a brave person in the dunya. So now you have received the reward that you requested or you desired, and this person will be dragged on his face and thrown into Jahannam. Then an alim and a qari of the Quran will be brought, who was given the opportunity to study the knowledge of deen, to impart the knowledge of deen, and to recite the Quran. And he will be asked, or he will be told about these blessings, and he will recognize them and admit to them. And then he will be asked that, what did you do with the knowledge that you were given? So this person will say, oh Allah, I studied the Quran, I studied your deen, I taught your deen, I recited the Quran for your pleasure. And our Ustad, my name Saab, mentions when he reads this hadith that the hairs on his back stand on end. So this person would be told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to him that you are lying. You taught and you studied so that you would be called a great alim. And you recited the Quran so that people would say, wah, wah, what a great qari. And this person would then be dragged on his face into Jahannam. And then a person would be brought who was given all the material wealth and benefits in this world. And he will be asked that, what did you do with the wealth that I blessed you with? And he will respond that, oh Allah, any good cause that came through, any good cause that was there in your path, I spent in that path freely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to him that you have lied. You spent so that you could be called a generous person, and you were called a generous person. And then the decision would be made that he would be dragged on his face and he would be thrown into Jahannam. So this hadith highlights to us that despite these great a'mal, and we're not talking about simple things that these people have done. One person has become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another is studying the sacred knowledge. And there's so many ahadith about the virtue of the knowledge of ilm and the favor and the rank of the knowledge, the people of ilm over the rest of mankind. And another person who is spending in the path of Allah. And look at the different ayat that talk about the great reward of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But each and every one of these people had their intention tainted. And because there was the lack of the ingredient of complete ikhlas in their a'mal, these actions were not accepted. And now if we internalize that into our lives, how many times we may find so many different acts of ibadah that we may be doing. Perhaps we are going out in the path of Allah, or we are servicing an organization, or assisting in a particular area, or perhaps we are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on different projects. But sometimes we have to look into ourselves and ask ourselves that, am I joining this organization, or do I feel that my organization is the only right organization, that whatever good must come to my organization, that if there is a difficulty or a challenge somewhere, then I must be known as the first one to have been there, as the first responder. Or if I am spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I spending and am I assisting that person and then am expecting something from them in return. I assist somebody, and then a few months or a few years down the line, I hear that perhaps his daughter has gotten married, and I become so upset that, you know, I helped him in his time of need, he doesn't even invite me to the nikah or the walima of his daughter or son. So these are different intentions that taint our a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to all become mukhlis. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.